Amen. As you can see today, we're going to do a little bit different. I'm going to preach before we get to communion. And I want to talk about the cross. A long-lasting victory can never be separated from a long-lasting stand on the foundation of the cross. Church, we this morning we had a great class about cultural diversity and how that can get in the way of making Jesus Lord of our lives. And yet I believe that we're now talking about how diversity should look like and what it's supposed to be and how we should conduct ourselves. But the change does not happen until we go to the cross. It is great to have a message. It is great to have a season when you talk about change and what needs to be different and how we can connect as black and white, Hispanic and natives and all those kinds of people, internationals, and really have a walk with God that when the world walks in here, they say, truly, Jesus is among these people. That happens not because you talked about it. It happens because you submit your life to Jesus as Lord of your life. But it's not one Sunday, one month. It's a long-standing approach to your life on a day-to-day basis. The cross is something we do here every Sunday. We sit here and say, this time is time for communion. Communion, in my opinion, is a restoration, a reset button, if you wish, of if you are veering away from the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you come back and close and say, you know, I need to be close. I may be going too far away from that Lordship. So we take that moment to reset for the weekend, to keep going in that direction, guided by the cross on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment, minute by minute, so that we really profess Christ and live as one who is inspired by the gospel. Remember Jesus. Let's start here. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 24 says, for I passed on to you what I received from the Lord himself. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinthians and all the things that were coming on. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. This story, what Paul is saying, is repeated in the Gospels. He's quoting the Gospels. He says here, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. So he gave them bread, told them break it, give thanks, and do it in remembrance of me. You have to remember these are Jews who had an understanding of how they came out of Egypt, and that the lamb was, they had to kill a lamb and then apply blood on their doll frames. And that's how they got out of the bondage of slavery and came out and God freed them. Now fast forward that and you can see how they can understand it. It says, do this in remembrance of me, that break bread, which represents the body of Christ. That Christ's body was broken to give you and I hope away from sin. You know, there are very few animals, there are quite a few animals actually that give life. And as they do so, they have to die. An octopus is one. That the mother will tend for the eggs and she'll do nothing else. And then, because she's doing nothing, she's just tending for the eggs, she dies out of hunger. And once once they hatch from the eggs and they start to grow, she dies because she has no energy to get back and go get some food. Jesus gave his life And we're told to break the bread in remembrance of him. If you think about what Jesus took, is what are you remembering about Jesus? That Jesus came on the cross, even though it was painful, when he says, my spirit is willing, but my body is weak. What do you remember about Jesus? That people insulted him and said all kinds of things about him. Says, you are the Lord, if you are the Lord of the Jews, save yourself. And they spit on his face and hit him on his face and whipped him. And he still came along and said, I will die for people that don't care anything about me. What is the lesson? What is the lesson? That we remember the unconditional love that Jesus gives on the cross to motivate us to entrust ourselves back to this walk with Jesus. Why? Because if someone can love me that much, surely I have no reason not to just appreciate giving my life to God. And I think that that factor is clouded by the nature of life we live on a day-to-day basis, that we get so busy that even when we say it's communion time, we don't connect to what did Jesus do? What are we remembering? Just before this happened, when he was having the last meal, he stood up and washed their feet as an example of serving them. Now, you have to understand, in those days, they didn't have enclosed shoes like us today. They were walking with open shoes. It was dusty. It was a job for the servant. And he woke up and washed them. How many people would wash your feet? When you're able-bodied, when you're sick, is a different story. He did that. So we take communion to remember how he served. And how he served selflessly, irrespective of how the people were to him. It's the cross. It's the message of the cross. That he goes on, and you see, if you think about Jesus, he was always talking to you about repent and helping them to come to a reconciliation with God. And even on the cross, he has two people. One, he says, if you claim you're the Son of God, save us. The other says, he has done nothing. He has done nothing. He doesn't deserve to be here. And because of that, he tells him, you'll be with me today in paradise. And sometimes we take communion, but we're angry. We don't act like the other thief on the cross that says, you know what, he has done nothing. He doesn't deserve to be here. We don't move our hearts. Our hearts don't move. It's just close eyes, take the bread, take the wine, but we don't make an effort to connect the heart to what is going on. It's a very special moment of the cross. It's the time to connect our hearts to what Jesus did on the cross, the grace of being given a life, and how that can inspire you to give of yourself, to be most serving that week, to reach out to people that are totally lost, and to understand that even on the cross, in pain, he gave of himself. And to ask that question, why have I stopped giving of myself to God? What pain has taken me away from the cross? Because they are all pains in this world. We all have pains. But those pains can only be healed by the cross. By going to Jesus, you find strength to give yourself again. By going to Jesus, you find healing to say, you know what? I can recommit myself to the cross of Jesus Christ and not be preoccupied with issues. Sometimes we're having conflict, maybe at home, maybe in your marriage. That is a time to say, you know, I need to let go of this stuff. Like we had today, that the purpose of all this is to come to a place of peace. Do it in remembrance of me. How did Jesus live? That's what you're trying to remember. How does that affect me? But for some of us, Jesus is so far away. You cannot even connect to the reality that he died on the cross. Because you need time to meditate. You need time to sit down and really think through, how does this really affect me? For some of us are closer to that. For some of us, man, what does that mean? I think you need time to focus on the cross, to study it out for yourself, to begin to re-engage with that. Because it's easy for the cross to lack the impact it has for you. You know, one of the things that our culture teaches us is not to be indebted with anything. People are self-sufficient. And unknowingly, we bring that into the kingdom of God. We need to be indebted with the cross. We need to feel a need to be indebted with the cross. The cross is a place where we, you know, I need to respond to the cross. Not, I don't need anything. I've done everything right. No, we need the cross. We need forgiveness. We need the grace of God. If you come to a place where you're working so hard not to need that, you're killing the power of the cross. You're killing your spiritual sensitivity. As we sang this morning, we need to experience your presence, God. That can only happen if you go to the cross. It can't happen if you don't need anyone. That's why it says this cup is the new covenant. Christ was making a covenant with us, an agreement. A new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. To this, remember me as you often do. It's an agreement that I have a relationship with you now that is based on faith, on grace, but also that we will repent and do what is God's will. Why? Because we understand the grace that comes out of this cross. Many of us see the cross as a guilting tool. No, the cross is God showing love to a lost people. It's not a guilting tool. Many of us see the cross as the time just to confess everything. Amen. But where is the repentance that comes out after that? It has to be there. It's not just, I confessed it, I need to talk about it before I take communion. What will be the repentance I do after that? It's not healthy to talk about stuff and not repent. We harden our hearts. So it's important to understand what the cross is, the communion is all about. And we'll do that today as well. But I want to talk about it because we've talked a lot about how we can work together as different cultures. And yet without the cross of Jesus Christ, you cannot do that. You'll be stuck in your culture. You'll be stuck in your way of life. Why? Because you refuse to submit to Jesus as Lord of your life. That is when change happens. Change doesn't happen because a great message was preached. Change happens when people begin to submit to the cross of Jesus Christ. And they say, Jesus is Lord, and we got to change. We got to be different around here. Change happens when we realize I can reach out to people that are not like me. Not necessarily my background, my race, but I'll reach out to them because Jesus is Lord. Does that make sense? That's when it happens. This is my body, which is given for you to do this in remembrance of me. So we take communion to remember Christ. We remember what he did for us. He died on the cross for us. He served us. He reached out to the lost. He went and served the sick. He touched the sick a lot. When is the last time you did something like that? It is easy to be busy all about yourself. Christianity is not all about ourselves. Christianity is about us giving ourselves to touch other souls. Christianity is not all about your comfort, me and what I get. No, it's about how can you, God, imbue me with your spirit and lead me so that I may touch other souls. When you understand that, your focus turns around. You begin to touch people's lives differently. And God uses people like that in a powerful way. We are responsible for our hearts. You know, we may read the Bible and all that stuff, but you're responsible to the extent you allow yourself to be touched. You know, depending on what you like, you can go to the most amazing musician and stand there like nothing is going on, like what's wrong with these people? Because you will not let your heart move that direction. The same way you can come to church and hear the message and your heart will not be moved. Get angry sometimes. Get upset. It's not the message. It's the heart. The Bible actually talks about some scriptures that I want to talk about before I read this one. One scripture that talks about the heart, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. That is that's one thing we struggle with. That sometimes our hearts are not trusting God 100%. So our own understanding has taken precedence on what God would want you to do. In my life, I've come to understand this. If I know everything, I'm not depending on God. I don't need God if I know everything. When I don't know everything, I know I need God and I know I'm on the right track. I stick with God on that time. What is it in your life you've not given God and you've come on my understanding? There's no faith. There's no God can help me do that. That's one thing that we can get away from. Another Proverbs. My father taught me, take my words to heart, follow my commands, and you will live. Is it possible that the Bible does not take hold in your heart? That it just bounces off. You know the four soils? The four soils in the Bible? Like you put it in the word and it doesn't take root, it just dies. You put it in and some bud comes and takes it. You put it in and it gets choked. You know those four soils? Or does it grow? And you have to be careful. As I stay as a Christian, the longer I stay as a Christian, the more I'm challenged to check my heart. Because I realize that knowledge puffs up. You've got to be humble and let the scriptures get in your heart. Not just knowledge. And touch you deeply. And there's another one that says here that guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Jeremiah talks about the heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? God will taste it, reward it at some point. People say, what do I do? You check your heart with scripture, with the right godly people in your life, with prayer. Then you begin to hold it together. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Let us not be led by emotions. Let us be led by the word of God and God. So let's read here. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. That Jesus died on the cross, we're announcing that. Because of that death, we have a hope that he's coming back and we're going to go to heaven. So we announce that when we're doing communion. But he also says, until he comes again, and says, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord and unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you take responsibility of your heart? Do you ask, is my heart right? Not your thinking. Where's your heart? Not your thinking. You may think all the right stuff, but where is your heart? How do you feel? That was the hardest question my wife would ask me. The first few days of my marriage, or first few years of our marriage, my wife would ask me, how do you feel? I'd get so confused. What do you mean, feel? I don't feel. I think. It took years of asking, how do you feel? Why do you always ask me, how do I feel? I'm not telling her that. I'm thinking it. Eventually, I said, oh my goodness, there's a feeling that exists. The reality that your heart is a place that God resides, your feelings, that those places that can change, be transformed, connect, that you can actually say, you know, God, I surrender to you, that I no longer have a hidden part of me. Everything is in your hands. That my heart is given to you, my mind, you know, my heart, mind, and soul is given to you. Everything is given to you. That is what it's talking about. Is your heart in the right place? Sometimes you will not receive God's word because your heart is not in the right place. You may be here mentally, but your heart is angry, gone to another place. In church, we live in a challenging place. You go to work, some of us are businessmen, and that place is full of politics and all kind of stuff that is playing in the game. It can harden you. Because you're trying to survive, and you can take on a countenance of, I'm just going to have a strong shell to survive. But don't you harden yourself to the point where the Spirit does not get through. You don't need to harden yourself. You need to depend on God. Don't harden yourself. That is a world way of dealing with things. Our weapons is we pray, we fast, we see things clearly, and we walk in the Spirit, and we will not be afraid. Because we harden ourselves, we bring that in the church. We hardened. We don't receive the gospel. You can't have two hands. You got to learn to rely on God, even in the most difficult places. You're tempted to take it and control it. Rely on God and be godly how you deal with life there. It's your responsibility. You've got to confess your sins. Talk about what you're going through. Get help. If you talk about it, it works quickly. Apologize when you make mistakes. It's healthy. It's godly. God tells you, go back and say you're sorry about that stuff. And walk through it. Does that make sense? I found that when I do that, I live with a clear conscience. I don't live with a clear conscience because you got to just, hey, toughen up and take it. No. It's my responsibility to go and say, are we okay? Does that make sense? We've got to be godly and not just tough. We've got to be godly. If you load responsibility on a man unworthy of it, he will always betray himself. If you take communion in an unworthy way, you are betraying yourself. You're cheating yourself out of a rich spiritual gift from God. You betray the fact that the grace of God is available, but you will not take it. You betray the fact that, you know, if you get open, you get help and you'll change. You betray the fact that if you just gave yourself that opportunity, you would grow. It's important for us to understand that. Let us not act, let's not take that cliche of saying, act like you are it until you become it. It doesn't work like that. Get open, get help, and you get change. Honor Christ during communion. Communion is not just another session of the bread is passed, the tray is passed, money is passed, or rather contribution is passed. It's, we got to honor him. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drink the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is good for us to honor. And I think back then we had a time when before communion you were given a minute of silence to talk through stuff if you needed to. I remember those days I wouldn't take communion. If I had some disagreement with my wife, I'd be apologizing before I took my communion. So I'm sorry about that before I took my communion. You were given a minute back then. So take a minute to make sure you're in good standing with God. Now, you're not perfect, but you don't want to be doing this just willy-nilly and say, I don't care, I'm just going to take communion. I think we need to be honoring God. And honoring God is examining ourselves and saying, where do I stand with God? How am I doing spiritually? Now, this is not a ticking thing, but rather making sure that we're in a healthy place spiritually. Church, it's very easy to get busy until you're drowned out spiritually. And the only person remaining is the guy that comes in and goes. But are you in tune with what's going on? In tune with your environment and say, God, my heart is not in the right place. As you watch different things in society, do you connect to that and say, you know what? I need to reach out to that. I need to do this different. This morning I made a small change to me. But I was making the change, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a big change for the musicians. And I had to go there and say, I'm sorry to them. I had, for those that were involved, I said, you know, I thought it was a small change.
And I thought to myself, why was that bothering me? Because I realized when I talked to them, I said, whoa, it's not as small as I thought.
There are always two walls, the way you see it and the way they see it. There's always two walls. Some of us are stuck in our wall. It's okay. Cross over and see the other wall and then come back and take responsibility in that. And again, I want to apologize to them. Thank you for doing what you do at all. But you have to understand this, though. You cannot do that if you're not dealing with your heart. You can get in a wall that is full of rationalization. Explanations, rationalization. And I'm telling you, before you know it, you have a PhD in rationalization. There's nothing that we can tell it. You don't have a comeback. It's this and that, it's this and that. You don't know how just to say, you know what, I need to deal with this stuff. Honor Christ. Communion is a time to honor Him. Is to really get, okay, I need to let go of this stuff. I honor God because this is not what God, Jesus did not die on the cross for me to go to live like this. So that I may change. If you're visiting, honoring God is changing your lifestyle and making Him the Lord of your life. Turn around. It's a great place to live. It's fun. It's awesome. It's great that you can wake up without fear or without anxiety, knowing that God is on His throne and He'll take care of you. That's a great place to be. That I don't know what's coming, but whatever is coming, God is going to take care of me. It may be good. It may be challenging, but the Lord Almighty is on His throne. He'll take care of me. I hope you don't live like the guys, what are they called? The guys that pray for the doomsday, what are they called? So, what? Yeah. What do you call them again? Yeah. They pray for this doomsday and I'm like, no, I'll trust God. Don't be afraid too much. We got to live in faith, not fear. A man's greatest honor and privilege is to do the will of God. So I ask this question. If you're honoring God, how often are you conscious about you doing the will of God? Even when it's difficult. Have you asked your question? Do you ask yourself this question? Am I doing God's will right now? Yeah, you're at work, but are you doing God's will? You're at home, but are you doing God's will? You're driving, are you doing God's will? You are in the malls, are you doing God's will? Yeah, shop, don't get me wrong, do the shopping and all that stuff. But are you in God's will? Are you a good steward of His money? Are you a good steward of His time? Are you a good steward of everything that God has given you? This is all communion. We commune with God so that He's imbuing us and He's changing us. We are becoming more like Jesus Christ. We don't ask that question a lot. We assume, because we're Christians, we must be doing God's will. It's a question that we need to ask again and again. Not all this thing that is said. That's the question you may ask yourself during communion. I hope it's a good question to ask when you're doing that communion. Sin makes our spirit weak and sick. You know, you can be so weak spiritually that even sins you'd overcome start to master you. And we're having a very interesting conversation. Kenson and Kyle are a little bit aware. We're just talking about raising children and how that sometimes, if you're not good at it, the kids can really have a punch on you. And Kyle was sharing some victories, and I said, well, the kids lost the bottom today. What I just meant is that sometimes there's a way that if you're not paying attention, those things in the world begins to master you. It can be greed. It can be envy. Competitiveness. And whenever I touch this topic, I always talk to the sisters. Don't believe everything Hollywood pulls out. It's true for the man now. It's beginning to happen. How is your heart doing? Are there things you've started doing that you never used to do as a Christian? How are you doing in the area of just being in control of your buttons with the pornography stuff? And all other stuff that comes this way. The Bible says this. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we will examine ourselves, we will not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. That even though we go through challenges, God is disciplining us so that we may grow and be different. So we should not be giving up. The fact that we struggle is not a reason to give up. It's rather an opportunity to grow and change and be more like Jesus Christ. And when we talk about diversity church, we really need to understand that. The fact that we talk about it, we hope that you can have people that are not like you in your homes. Amen? We hope that you can reach out to people that are not like you. And we hope that you can really overcome the stereotyping of the American world and become more like Jesus Christ and just be a disciple. You talk to anyone and say, let's reach out to this guy about God. That's different. But sin can make you weak and sick. And I know people are dying, but I do believe that you can die spiritually and get sick spiritually. And when you're sick, you're not doing well spiritually. And some of us can carry spiritual sickness way too long and say, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Stick with God. Trust God. I mean, I just listened to Tom today. He was telling me about his son. I hope you don't mind me sharing, but he had such an impeccable standard with purity. And I said, wow, before he got married, I just said, without going into details, I just said, that's awesome. And I said, that is the way it's supposed to be. That's God's way. And so, which part needs healing? That's the sick part. Which part is weak? That needs spiritual brothers and sisters around you to help you to get stronger. Let's get open, let's get going, and God will heal us. Amen? At this point, I'm going to turn over to Tyler to take us through communion. God bless you.